Well, good morning, everyone. Delighted that you're here. I'm super excited to be addressing this question today. Why? Because it was a question that I was asking that changed the whole trajectory and path of my life at the age of 17. It's huge. And maybe this is true for you as well. So yeah, at 17 years of age, the last year of secondary school, college or university was just around the corner. I was living for things that weren't doing it for me. The approval of my parents. They said, hey, why don't you try for an appointment at West Point for your college? I was looking for more prestige and notoriety. I had some nods from university to play football for them on scholarship. I was driven by fear not to be a failure. I wanted to become rich. So you can see some frantic in all of that, some unsettledness, some uncertainty, and lots of me and selfishness in that, right? But in February of 1976, at the age of 17, I had an existential crisis, a crisis of epidemic proportions. I was asking this very question, why am I here? What purpose does my life have, really? I was seeking to find an answer to those questions as I wondered about my future, which direction I had taken my life of study and then career. It was as if I took a step back and paused long enough to really evaluate my life and reason for living and thought hard about my life. It certainly didn't seem right. There had to be more. It just didn't seem like I was on the right road. I didn't feel right. It felt like I was not hitting on all cylinders and moving forward in the direction that I should be. I wasn't in stride with who I was or wanted to be. There was a disconnect, a misfiring, a wondering if this is why I'm supposed to be here. You know, I had a problem. I had no purpose or the wrong purpose, which led to me asking the questions of my life, does it have meaning? Which led to emptiness and agitation and confusion, doubt, seeking, and an aimlessness. What on earth am I here for? Why do I exist? What is driving me? What makes me tick? Why am I taking up oxygen? These are good questions, right? So, in my bewilderment, God used a girl carrying a Bible on the secondary campus school that spurred my thinking to say to myself, hey, maybe there's some answers in that book for you, Kirk. I grew up in a home where my dad was Catholic, my mom Anglican. I helped the priest by the mass as an acolyte, an altar boy. I went to church regularly. I thought maybe even someday I would become a monk. But I thought it was strange and curious to see a girl carrying a Bible on a secular campus. It seemed out of place, but it certainly caught my eye. So during the lunchtime, I went into the library and checked out a modern-day translation of the Bible and found passages much like the ones in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. I started to feel that maybe those are the answers to the questions of why I'm here and what purpose my life has. And maybe there, that is where the answer is to be found. Then I asked a girl out on a date that I haven't talked to in a two-year period. In the meantime, subsequently, she had become a believer in Jesus Christ, and she told me that God wanted to have a personal relationship with me. That seemed to resonate, and I understood that I needed a Savior. So at the age of 17, I gave over the control of my life to Jesus, and I repented, and I confessed my sin, and I made Him my Lord and my Savior as the Son of God who died, was buried, and rose again. Scripture says, in that moment of surrender and rebirth, I became a new creature. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things have become new. At that point in Christ, I understood and began to understand my reason for existence and my purpose and my plan to love God with all of my heart and being and love my neighbor as myself, to glorify God with all that I am and enjoy Him forever. Wondering about your purpose and your meaning in life is like getting new shoes that are too small and they pinch. Or it's like going to a feasting table and looking all of the delicatessens, but finding nothing that satisfies you. Or you see a luscious meal and you find the recipe and begin making that meal, but it turns out to be a wrong recipe from the wrong cookbook. Or you're singing off the wrong song sheet, or you're taking plays from the wrong playbook, messing up the game. Or you're operating with the wrong operation manual. You're putting diesel into your engine instead of unleaded petrol. Something in your life just isn't right, or hugely not right. It doesn't seem to be meshing and gelling with who you are and who you'd like to be. Your life is like a meteor on the wrong path and on the wrong trajectory. A meteor on the wrong path in collision course with Earth. Something's going to have to change its course. Something powerful, something dramatic, something supernatural. I don't know if you've heard, but last month, a successful operation was carried out by NASA's double asteroid redirection test. It was launched in November of last year, but didn't have its first collision until September 22nd, when it successfully knocked an asteroid out of its orbit in what NASA is calling the first full-scale demonstration of asteroid deflection technology. And the purpose of that DART was to determine if a spacecraft could divert the course of an asteroid in case of a future potential collision with Earth. So NASA targeted an asteroid that wasn't currently a threat, and which they would bump out of its orbit after it was contacted by a spacecraft 7 million miles away. And it was a smashing success. They found success in changing the orbit of that asteroid. And that's where Jesus comes in, right? He has the power to set us on the right course, put us on the right trajectory, path to purpose and satisfaction, peace, fulfillment, and focus. He changes everything. He transforms everything. He makes us new. May I suggest to you, dear friends, that it takes crashing into Jesus, bumping into Jesus so dramatically that it changes the trajectory of your life to a path of purpose and meaning, to get you on the right road, to be hitting on all cylinders, to be singing from the right song sheet, to be cooking with the right recipe, to be playing the right play, to be functioning as you were meant to function. You know, there are loads and loads of stories of Jesus crashing into people and transforming them totally. Like the story in Luke chapter 9, Sunday school kids love this story about little Zacchaeus. Jesus came flying through his orbital path and bam, Zacchaeus is redirected with purpose and meaning and joy in his life, to the point where he says, "Now I'll give up all of my possessions to the poor. And those I've cheated out of anything, I'll pay back to them four times." And Jesus said of him, "Hey, today salvation has come to this house. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost." Or what about in Acts chapter 9? What about Paul's collisions course with Jesus and the dramatic result of new purpose and meaning, where Jesus enters into Paul's orbit on as he was threatening murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, and Jesus stops him in his tracks, and Saul falls to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus replied, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and I will tell you what you must do." And then most famously, maybe John chapter 4 of the Samaritan woman at the well, who was finding and seeking her purpose and significance and meaning in relationships. We read in verse 4 of chapter 4 that Jesus was going now through Samaria, and he came into the town called Sychar, near the plot of ground where Jacob had given his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon, Scripture tells us, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us a well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right. When you have said that you have no husband, the fact of the matter is that you have had five husbands, and the man that you're now with is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Jesus is a mediator that has the power to put us on the right path and trajectory, to the path of purpose which satisfies us, gives us peace, focus, brings simplicity, meaning, and prepares us for eternity. That's exactly what happened in the life of the Samaritan woman, as well as Paul and in Zacchaeus. You know, knowing your purpose gives meaning to your life. We were made to have meaning. That's why people try to find meaning in various things, like astrology or psychics, or they try to discover what their purpose is. You know, without God, life has no purpose, and without purpose, life has no meaning, and without meaning, life has no significance or hope. You know, the greatest tragedy is not death, but life without a purpose, someone has said. Hope is as essential to our lives as air and water, and hope comes from having purpose. You know, knowing your purpose simplifies your life. It defines what you do and what you don't do. Your purpose becomes your standard to use to evaluate which activities are essential and which are not. Knowing your purpose focuses your life. It concentrates your efforts and your energy on what's important. You become effective at selecting what you will do. You know, and knowing your purpose motivates your life. Purpose always produces passion, and nothing energizes us more than a clear purpose. And then, of course, knowing your purpose prepares us for eternity. You know, many people spend their lives trying to create a lasting legacy here on earth, but we know from Scripture that a more meaningful legacy, a long-lasting legacy, a much wiser use of our time is to build an eternal legacy. We won't be remembered here on earth, but we can be preparing for eternity. You know, one day we will stand before God, and He will audit our lives. And fortunately, God wants us to pass that test, so He gives us the questions in advance. From the Bible, we can surmise that God will ask us two crucial questions. First, "What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ?" God won't ask us about our religious background or our doctrinal views. The only thing that really matters is what we did with Jesus. Did we accept what he did for us? Did we learn to love and trust him? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." The second question is, "What did you do with what I gave you?" What did you do with your life? All the gifts, all the talents, all the opportunities, the energy, the relationships, the resources that I gave you. Did you spend them on yourself, or did you use them for the purposes God made for you? That's where Jesus comes in, right? He has the power to set us on the right course and the trajectory on a path of purpose and satisfaction, peace, fulfillment, and focus. He changes everything. He transforms everything. He makes all things new. So it would behoove us to remember these five precepts about God that we shouldn't forget, that we should hold on to as promises from Scripture, that our life does have real meaning and purpose. The first fact and precept is that God does have a plan and a purpose. It's an eternal salvific plan, and he's given that to us in Christ. Isaiah 46, 10 and 11 says, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, and the man of my counsel from a far country, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. Or that famous passage in Romans 8, 28 and following, and we know that for those whom love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So God has a purpose and a plan. Second truth and precept is that he's got a plan and a purpose for you. Here's what Scripture says about his unique and crafted plan just for you. This is what he has in mind. From Scripture, he's talking to the prophet Jeremiah, and he says to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, Jeremiah. I knew who you would be. I knew what your personality would be. I knew I would know the plans that I have for you. Before you were born, I would set you apart for my purposes. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. David in Psalm 139 is talking about God and how God has a purpose and a plan for his life and for our lives as well. Here's what he said to God. He said, for you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You gave me the right personality, right skills, right abilities, so that I would be able to fulfill your purpose in my life. Your works are wonderful. I know full well my frame was not hidden from you. And when I was made in secret, I was woven together in the depths of the earth, which is reference to his mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in the book before one of them came to be. David was saying, when I was still in my mother's womb, you knew me and had a relationship with me. In that powerful passage in the New Testament in Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, his poema, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What good works? The good works that God, even while we are still in our mother's womb, look forward and plan for us, the purposes of our life, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So does God have a purpose and a plan for you? Do you know it? He absolutely does. Third truth and precept, God wants to use us now, today, tomorrow, and the next day until he takes us home or he returns to take us to be with him. He said of David in Acts 13:36, David served God's purposes in his generation. God wants to use you and me today to fulfill his purposes on earth. There's no greater epitaph or statement that can be chiseled in our tombstones than that we served God's purposes in our generation. That's my prayer, that we would be able to say that about ourselves when we die. God is looking for people to use. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I want to be that person. I hope you will want to be that person that God can use for his purposes, serving your generation. Paul lived a purpose-filled life, didn't he? I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Living with purpose is really the only way to really live. Friends, I want each of us to be able to walk out of here today and say, I know exactly that God put me on earth and has a purpose for my life. My life really does have meaning. Friends, if we don't have that, how do we ever expect to be fulfilled? How do we ever expect to do the things that we were created to do and finding out what our purpose is? A fourth precept, God wants you to revel in his purposes for you, to lean into his purposes for you, and to love his plan and purposes for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans that I have for you, for a future and a hope. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. He will direct your path, Proverbs 3 says. And then Ephesians 2:10 again, you are God's workmanship, masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he planned for you to walk in. Revel in those purposes for you. And then lastly, and maybe most importantly, that fifth precept and truth. In fact, God has provided Jesus as the meteor to set you and me on the right trajectory. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, all things have become new. You and I need to do business with Jesus, just as I did at the age of 17. We can't fake him out all of the time. You're going to have a coming to Jesus moment. He is powerful. He is purposeful. He wants to transform you. He wants to use you. But he's a gentleman in the sense that he's going to wait for you to make the next move. He's going to not twist your arm and force you to do something against your will. All that I can say that I'm grateful that he came crashing into my life. I think Zacchaeus, Paul, the Samaritan woman, and Brian, as we heard in the testimony, are as well. What does Scripture say about a coming to Jesus moment? How do we get redirected on the right path? Kirk, how do I get my life on track and filled with purpose? What does Scripture mean about being in Jesus? What do I need to do in order to have this? How can we have this eternal life where Jesus, not death, will have the final word? Is this something that you would like for yourself? Is there anything preventing you from turning to Jesus and asking him for eternal life? It's my wish and the desire of what's the story to tell his story, which is the gospel, that God sees our desperate situation, our predicament. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We each have turned our own way and we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Meaning that our hearts are desperately sick and bent on evil, broken, fearful, floundering, hopeless, and sinful. And seeing this, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Savior, came entering into the fray. He rammed into earth and he battled for us until the point of death. He endured the cross, despising the shame. He finished the sacrificial atoning death on the cross for us. Because he loves us, and he loves us completely. He was put to death, he died, was buried, he rose again on the third day, overcoming death, sin, and Satan, becoming that sinless one-time sacrifice for us, making atonement for our sin. He battled well so that we mustn't fear death and dying, but look at it as our destiny, as our future home, if we'll only receive him and believe on his name. The book of Romans in the scripture sums it up beautifully. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Pray and mean this. Thank you, dear Lord, that you have come to earth. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sin. You rose again on the third day. Thank you for bearing the guilt and punishment for my sin, giving me the gift of eternal life. I'm sorry. I know that I am a sinner. I have lived my life ignoring or offending you. I cannot save myself. I'm sorry and I ask for your forgiveness. I turn from my old way of life and I ask you to cleanse me from all of my sin and give me this new life. Come into my life, please. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. By faith, I gratefully receive this gift of salvation. I pray this in Jesus' name. I hope that we all will embrace this truth, and that is the story. Living on purpose is the path to peace. You, Lord, give perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm and put their trust in you. Isaiah 26:3 says, God bless you. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for listening.